You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, I hope everybody is physically and mentally okay out there after the brutal loss that the Kings suffered last night. There are collapses, and then there's what the Kings did, which was actually historic, and I'll share that with you in just a little bit. Kings had a 28-point lead in the second half. They were absolutely dominating the Brooklyn Nets, and then they not only took their foot off the gas, they stepped out of the car entirely. Brooklyn didn't quit. D'Angelo Russell went supernova, and suddenly we go from feeling like it's going to be an easy victory and a relaxed night ending with a win in the Golden 1 Center to a disappointing walk out of the arena where we are shell-shocked, angry, sad, upset. I walked the concourse on my way down to head coach Dave Yeager's post-game press conference, and I saw crying children. I saw shell-shocked faces, heard a boatload of curse words. All the emotions were felt last night in the Golden 1 Center. The growing pains of a young team trying to figure out how to be successful in the NBA, but it doesn't get more painful than what happened last night as the Kings blow a 28-point lead and absolutely spoil Marvin Bagley's phenomenal night off the bench. They fall to the Brooklyn Nets 123-121. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you. My name is Matt George. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. Normally, especially after a game and a loss like what happened last night, I would have this podcast out immediately for you right when you wake up in the morning, but I'm releasing it later on in the afternoon because I just returned to the KHDK studios from an event that the Kings held for all of my media company, which is Bonneville, Sacramento. KHDK is one of four stations that are owned by Bonneville. Bonneville owns a number of stations through the United States in Arizona and Salt Lake City and Denver. They're all over the place. And KHDK has been an affiliate of the Sacramento Kings for many, many, many years. So the Kings held what they call a Court of Dreams, a little fun little get-together and gathering for the Bonneville family and for some of Bonneville's clients or some of our chief advertisers and our chief sponsors. So what that was a bunch of our staff at Bonneville and then a bunch of our advertisers and friends got to come and compete in scrimmages on the Kings floor, half-court drills with the high flyer Henry Turner and Morgan Reagan. They got to sit down and go through a private film session with Sacramento Kings assistant coaches, and they even got to tour the Golden 1 Center. They also got lunch, got to hear and do a Q&A with Kings TV broadcaster Grant Napier and color commentator and Kings legend Doug Christie. So it was really a fun event and it was really cool. And there's going to be a video about that coming out right now. If you're interested in what that looks like, the behind the scenes of all that, a tour of the Golden 1 Center, all of that is coming out on KHDK's website here very, very shortly. That's what I was doing there, collecting video. I'm going to be editing that and trying to get that up either at the end of this week or early next week. So be sure to keep an eye out for that, but it was needed for especially a lot of our clients who are diehard fans of the Sacramento Kings team, who were just as angry and disappointed as I'm sure you were last night after that Kings loss. But it was fun for them to be able to come and to spend time in the Golden 1 Center to interact with some Kings legends, some familiar faces, and just get an opportunity to see that phenomenal building and play on that floor and get a greater appreciation for where Sacramento has come from Arco 1, the old barn, to Arco 2, which we all know and love, to now the Golden 1 Center. So it was a really cool event, very well done by the Kings, and a huge thank you for them having me, the rest of my company, and many of our clients there. But you don't care about that. You care about this game last night. And I tweeted out last night that I'm happy to be your villain. If you need someone to yell at, If you need someone to curse at, if you need someone to be angry at, I'm throwing my name into the hat here with this little statement. And again, I tweeted this out. You might have seen it at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter if you want to follow me or interact with me there. I tweeted out that I actually left the Golden 1 Center happy last night. And this, and again, it's weird, right? Because of course I want this Kings team to win. Of course I want them to try and make the playoffs and keep their playoff hopes alive. And no, I'm not just trying to troll and be an antagonizer and piss off fans that are already emotionally vulnerable by the collapse that they just witnessed from their team, whether you were at the game or watching on at home or listening on the radio. But I honestly enjoyed myself last night. Because from a Sacramento Kings perspective, last night was dreadful. It was awful. It was a, like I mentioned, a historic collapse. The Kings are only the fourth team since the invention of the shot clock to blow a 25-point lead in the fourth quarter. They led by 28 in the third, but they started the fourth quarter with a 25-point lead, and they lost by two. That's insane. And from a Kings perspective, absolutely inexcusable. It's terrible. Defensively, they were horrific against D'Angelo Russell. I mean, he got to the rim way too easily, also caught fire, went supernova from three-point range, ended up with a career-high 44 points in the win for Brooklyn. And he, I mean, he was phenomenal. Now, he took 33 shots to get those 44 points, but still, he was everywhere. 6 of 15 from three-point range as well, also had 12 assists. That's a career-high for him. He won that game for Brooklyn. So from a Sacramento Kings perspective, purely, it was a horrific night and you want to punch a wall and scream and cry and burn the Golden 1 Center to the ground. But from an NBA perspective, from a pure basketball fan perspective, and of course, I am a diehard Kings fan. I grew up a diehard Kings fan and I have the opportunity to cover professionally the team that I love. But I am also a loyal fan of the NBA and the game of basketball as a whole. And what we saw last night was amazing from a basketball standpoint. To see D'Angelo Russell take over the way he did. To see the game, which is notorious, it's known as a game of runs. But some runs you just can't fathom. And nobody expected, especially when the Kings started the third quarter on a 20-0 run, nobody expected the Nets to have a shot of being within single digits at the end of this game, let alone win it. But they did. You remember in the, I think it was around 2011, 2012, I can't remember exactly, when the Sacramento Kings were down by, I think it was 34 to the Chicago Bulls in Chicago, and they came back and won that game. Remember how much fun that was for us as Kings fans? I'm sure it was horrific as a Bulls fan. But I'm sure there were many people like me that were at that game in Chicago that were happy that they got to be there to witness that. And I was happy I got to be there to witness D'Angelo Russell going off and to witness that game coming down to the wire, even though the Kings lost. And I tweeted this out, and this is what pissed a lot of people off. I left the Golden 1 Center happier last night that the Kings lost, but it was a close game, than I would have had the Kings won and it had been a blowout. And that was from just a purely NBA perspective. But here's another Kings perspective and a Kings spin on it that I'm going to try and put it. Even though mathematically they still have a chance to make the playoffs today, and having won that game last night certainly would have helped things, we know and we can feel pretty confident in saying that the Kings weren't and aren't going to make the postseason this year. So if you're going to learn these lessons, these hard lessons, and suffer tough, collapsing defeats and grow from that and go through that so you can experience it and then do everything you can to let it never happen again, this is the perfect time. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and there might be a few of you that are considering pausing and turning off this podcast right now because you're so pissed off at my perspective of this entire thing, and that's fine. If you need to take a break or you don't want to listen to this podcast episode, I understand completely. Because half of me was blood boiling last night. Shell-shocked, angry, frustrated. But I guarantee you, whatever you were feeling, whether you're at the game or at home or in your car, whatever you wanted to break or throw or scream at or whatever words you wanted to say in front of your children. The Kings players themselves and the Kings coaching staff felt a million times worse. I was in the locker room after the game. Hung heads. Very, very few players talking to one another. It was one of those nights where you wish Iman Shumpert was still a part of this team. Because Shumpert would have... Now, I wasn't in there immediately after the game, so I don't know if they had a scrum, a gathering. I know head coach Dave Yeager talked to him, as he does after every game. So I can only guess as to what happened there. So I don't know if there was interaction, positive or negative, after the game itself. But what I did witness was hung heads, nobody really talking to each other, everybody upset, everybody disappointed. I think Marvin Bagley said it best. He said, "I hate losing, but especially hate losing like that." It was a tough pill to swallow for them. But damn it if they know what it tastes like now. And they have now gone through it and are feeling that pain to where I'm confident that they will never do that again. If the Kings are up by 25 points to open up a fourth quarter with this core, for the remainder of time that they're together, I guarantee you they won't blow that. And I feel 100% confident in saying that, because you learn these lessons mentally. You remember what you did wrong. They're going to look at the film and see fundamentally what they did wrong. But emotionally, they're so invested in that moment. So disappointed in themselves, disappointed in the outcome, knowing that they had it. They didn't just have it. I mean, they owned it. And then they just let it go. They know that, and they feel that more than any of us could possibly here in Sacramento. So I'm 100% confident that they're going to learn from that and grow from that. And again, this is the best time to do that. The fact that you're not making the playoffs this year, I'd rather them get it over with now rather than suffer at the end of next season or during next season when they're trying to hold on to a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh seed. This Kings team is damn good, guys. And I know that's really hard for some people to hear and understand and think about and want to talk about on a podcast the day after blowing a 28-point lead. But holy crap, for those first three quarters, was this team fun to watch. Dominating for the first three quarters. Marvin Bagley was absurd in this game. Hit his first eight shots in 29 minutes off the bench. 28 points on 12 of 15 shooting. Also had 7 rebounds and a couple assists. He was ridiculous. He was getting everything he wanted, and the Nets had no answer. Harry Giles only had 9 points, but it was very efficient in his 18 minutes in this game. He also got 10 points from Bogey off the bench, but 27 and 9 assists for De'Aaron Fox. 17 for Harrison Barnes. 14 for Bielitsa. Now, Buddy Hield had a rough shooting night. 4 of 13 from the field. 0 of 8 from 3-point range. But this team was good. And what they were doing, what they were showing, made me super excited for the future. Made me super excited for the game tomorrow against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I can almost guarantee you the Kings are going to come out of the gate pissed off. And hopefully that will translate to a pretty substantial, meaningful, and powerful win over Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. But I liked a lot of what I saw in this game last night. The fourth quarter, the worst quarter of the season by far, maybe one of the worst quarters in the history of this franchise and organization. But everything else was a blast to watch. The future is extremely bright for this Kings team, and one bad quarter and one tough loss doesn't change that, even though it feels like it does. You're outscored 45-18 in the fourth quarter, and suddenly you feel like every quarter from here on out for the remainder of time is going to be just like that. But these are the things you learn from. This is the pain that makes you better. The next step is going through the pain of making the playoffs and then being eliminated from the playoffs and going through that pain And we've suffered that pain before here in Sacramento, haven't we? I'm looking at you, Lakers and Kings in 2002. Learning moments, moments to grow, moments to adapt, moments to change. That's what you got last night. And I expect that we're going to see things for the remainder of this season, and we're going to see things next season where we can tangibly go, remember that blown loss in March to the Brooklyn Nets and remember the issues that they had? I see the difference now. Because we're going to see that tangible growth. Now, one of the biggest areas that I want to see this team get better is, I don't know, maybe getting a shot off when you have an opportunity to win or tie a game in the closing seconds. We've had a handful of games this season where the Kings will have the opportunity to tie or go ahead or win it at the buzzer and get the last shot, and they don't even get a shot off. Happened against the Nets, happened against the Bucks. Last night it was Marvin Bagley who kind of got tunnel vision, got double teamed, dribbled it off his leg, and it went out of bounds, and Kings turned it over, and Nets had a chance to win the game, and Rondé Hollis-Jefferson did it for him with a circus shot. But the Kings got to get better there. And of course, after losses like this, everybody's quick to jump to Twitter or social media or everything and want to blame somebody. But here's the honest truth. Nobody is blameless in this game. Even Marvin Bagley, who played phenomenal. He had a phenomenal game, and he still had the game-losing turnover, to be fair. Buddy Hield, 0 of 8 from three-point range. He makes one of those shots. Kings win this game. Dave Joerger. Rotations were questionable at the end of the game. The fact that, once again, when you are a coach that is known for your ability to draw up great plays out of timeouts and half-court sets, your team couldn't get a shot off for a chance to win the game. There's a lot of blame to go around in this one. Do not try and pin it all on one player. Hell, you could throw blame at me for jinxing it. You could throw blame at Slamson. You could throw blame at the Kings dancers. I don't care. Throw blame wherever you want. But it's an equal share. There's not one player that is responsible for this Kings loss, except maybe D'Angelo Russell. The Los Angeles Lakers and general manager Magic Johnson traded away D'Angelo Russell and then let Julius Randle walk. How much do they regret those moves right now? Holy smokes. That's pretty brutal. Not as brutal as last night's loss for the Kings, but a lot of regrets in LA as well. So maybe take some solace and be happy from that. Kind of a weird format of today's show here today. Normally do three segments, but kind of did one long one, and then we're going to wrap it up with a short one here. I'm very thankful for everybody who has taken the time to listen to the Locked On Kings podcast here today. I know this was maybe a tough one for many to listen to, a tough morning to wake up to and move on as a Kings fan. And the Kings players said it best following the game. Bogdan Bogdanovic said that, you know, this is going to be a hard one to swallow, a hard one to deal with, but they're going to look at the film and they're going to try and get better. And I guarantee you every single one of those Kings players is anxious to take the floor against the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday, tomorrow night, just to wash that taste out of their mouth. When you screw something up, you almost want to just go and try it again and just get it out of the way immediately rather than sit there and mull it over. And that's what, unfortunately, the Kings and Kings fans are going through today, is they're just mulling everything over and thinking about what could have been, the mistakes that were made. And it's probably going to be a long day for every single person on that Kings roster today. And probably tomorrow morning and afternoon might be just as long too. But as soon as the Kings take the floor against the Dallas Mavericks, I have completely different expectations. Now, in tomorrow's podcast, we'll preview the Kings and Mavericks game, so I don't want to go into too much detail about that here today. But you should expect, if you're going to the game or watching the game as a Kings fan, you should expect that these Kings are going to play with a little bit of a fire under their butts. They know that they're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and they're aware that they should be still competing and trying to win every game and see if maybe that window will somehow creak open. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the team now that fans are saying they could possibly catch, because OKC has a pretty rough schedule to end this season. So it's not impossible. But losses like last night certainly feel like the nail in the coffin. De'Aaron Fox said it best after the game as well. It's one of those that those games, those collapses just can't happen in the NBA. You can't get away with taking your foot off the gas like that against any team in this league, regardless of how good they are. And that's where also I want to give a lot of credit to D'Angelo Russell and the Brooklyn Nets, is they lost three straight going into this game, and their firm hold on around the sixth seed in the East has dropped off to now they're looking at potentially falling out of the playoffs. They needed to win that game last night, and they did. They played like it, and they came back. They didn't quit, and they won the game. They stole it. And if they make it to the playoffs by a game or two games, they're going to be pointing directly to that Kings win as that was a monumental turnaround for them. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. Now, the Kings also handed it to them on a silver platter. But you have to appreciate fight, greatness, and heart when you see it. And that's what you saw out of the Brooklyn Nets last night. Now, of course, none of you here, or very few of you here, unless you're listening and are a fan of the Locked On Nets podcast. Hello, welcome. I'm glad you're listening. I hope you enjoyed your team embarrassing Sacramento last night. But I know nobody wants to really hear about what the Brooklyn Nets did and how awesome they are and how great their comeback was. But these are, like I said in the last 15 minutes, these are those learning experiences that suck like hell when you're going through them, are absolutely brutal to go through, but necessary. I don't know why I'm so optimistic today. And I'm so excited about the future after a loss like last night. Maybe I'm insane. And you know what? I might be. Covering this team for the last 4 years, being a fan of this team since I was 6 years old, going through 12, now 13 years of losing, I am probably a little bit insane. And you kind of have to be to be a Kings fan nowadays, but it's a good kind of insane. But again, I left last night's game happy that I enjoyed a good quality basketball game, an awesome comeback, and very encouraged by what I saw, particularly out of the young Kings. Now, if last night's game isn't enough of an indication, I don't know what is. Regardless of if the Kings are trying to make it to the playoffs this season or not, Marvin Bagley needs to be a freaking starter for the remainder of this season. Now, starting, and you've heard me say this on the podcast before, starting is mostly ceremonial. But Marvin Bagley, I mean, his minutes restriction should be, if not, is completely all but over. Marvin Bagley should be starting. He's better than Nemanja Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein. I think Harry Giles should be starting alongside him. The two of them, the chemistry that they have together on the floor is really something to behold. Something that I'm really enjoying watching, and something that I think Kings fans are really not taking for granted. We've seen the struggles that they've gone through this year to get to this comfort level. And now that they're doing it consistently, why should we expect anything different? For the remainder of this season, I think it's a no-brainer to start Harry Giles and start Marvin Bagley together. I'm curious if you feel the same way. Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Did you know that you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right, DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports and has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everybody fills out a bracket during the tournament. You might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. The NCAA tournament, now I'm not the biggest basketball supporter or college basketball supporter on the planet, especially with the Sacramento Kings not having their first-round draft pick this year, but the NCAA tournament, if you enjoy the game of basketball, there's no way you can't watch and enjoy the NCAA tournament. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. You know how brackets work before tip-off of the first game of the tournament. Just pick a winner of every game, every round. That's really all there is to it. I'm picking Gonzaga to go all the way and to win it all, and I feel pretty confident in that pick. I'm not going with Duke because they're the hot commodity, and the hot commodity never wins, but, you know, this could be the year. The best part is, though, you can play for free right now if you use the code DRIBBLE, D-R-I-B-B-L-E. You can even sign up for a private group with your friends and compete for bragging rights against them. Now, you're still eligible for all the prizes against everybody else, but you can have a bit of a smaller pool just to compare your scores with your friends, which is pretty rad. Something that we do here at the KHDK station just for bragging rights. It's really fun. If you download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com right now and use code DRIBBLE to enter the Bracket Battle promotion for free, you can compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to end the bracket battle, or enter the bracket battle for free, rather, and it's only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. I highly encourage you to participate in it. Have fun, enjoy it, and enjoy the NCAA tournament. We'll be talking about that, of course, a little bit here on the Locked On Kings podcast as we watch and as time goes on. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Hope you are okay today. I hope you are recovering physically, mentally, emotionally from last night's loss. I hope it won't hurt so bad that you're not going to watch this team for the remainder of this season. I mean, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks coming to town tomorrow night, I think is going to be a fantastic game, a really fun one inside the Golden 1 Center. So I'm looking forward to good things there. And hopefully you will be either there or watching from home, and you will join me in that. If you want to respond to anything we talked about on the podcast here today, and that reminds me, I wanted to get to something really quick. I got an email from a guy named Bliss, and he is a listener to the Locked On Kings podcast. I actually had the opportunity to meet him and his beautiful family at the Golden 1 Center a couple of weeks ago. And he wrote me this email immediately following the game last night. And a lot of times I get emails and tweets after the game of people just pissed off, angry, wanted to scream and throw things at the wall. And Bliss was upset, but he had great perspective. So I wanted to share this for you because I like to highlight what I consider to be good takes from Kings fans and very educated and smart and realistic takes when I see them. And so this is from Bliss. He sent this to me via email. He said, "I am super frustrated right now from the loss to the Nets, and I need to vent it to someone. I can't believe they blew it." And he says, "But I am glad that they took this really painful loss at this time when their playoff chances are all but shot, but there was still a chance. I know that they will take every pain from this year and grow, and with this sort of excruciating loss, they can grow exponentially. One thing I've gained confidence in is the coaching staff and each player's willingness and ability to grow in leaps and bounds. They are way ahead of schedule, and something like tonight will be the perfect catalyst to becoming a great and unbeatable team next year. I don't bet, but I'll put money down that they will never let a 20-point fourth-quarter lead turn into a loss again." Very well said, Bliss. 100% agree with you. And I think that's a perspective that a lot of Kings fans share, especially the silent majority that isn't interacting on social media. Very well said. I wanted to share that from Bliss and one of you fellow Kings fans. And I'm sure many of you agree with Bliss. Some of you might not. Let me know at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me like Bliss did, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Until tomorrow, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.